Then the key to pot. Well, the fact that we didn't see Nemiki Depa. Nemiki Depa. Nemiki Depa. Nemiki Depa.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your favorite figure skating podcast where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make you wonder, why is not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes welcoming me to this show? And it's because my co-hosts think it's funny. I'm Sarah Hughes.
I'm funny.
We don't know what to do.
Adam and Ashley, we're funny.
Adam and I are beaming currently as Sarah does this. You did it really well.
Thank you. Yeah.
I feel welcomed.
Thank you for leading us in.
I'm ready to sit back and talk about the second part of the Ville de Figure Skating Championships.
Right. I'm still kind of confused about the accent that you're
I never
going
claimed
for.
To speak French, only German.
Right.
We never thought that that was a claim to you.
Or a truth.
thank you to everyone who's already listened to our part one of the world's recap. But if you missed it, men and women are on the previous episode. Today we're talking about pairs and dance.
But I want to sneak in one final sentiment for the women.
Please do.
Okay.
I want to talk about Luna.
Okay.
I want Luna to go get big girl programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want her to do what Lindsay Thorngren did, and I want her to go get a
to break her ankle
program. Yes.
No.
And back.
Yes.
And then compete at Four Continents. No, I want her to go get big girl programs because she is probably my favorite kind of skater on the circuit, and I want her to look expensive next year.
Mm-hmm.
I want those programs to look like they cost close to 10 grand.
I know. I want that because because you think she's good now. Wait, like if she has this like incredible choreography, that's like, it's just, yeah, it's
because I think her choreography gets the job done. Like I'm not, I don't want to like shit talk her choreography, even though that's what I'm doing. That being said, like what makes Luna so great is her presence. So imagine if you combine that presence with like just the artistry of a Shay. Like I think she and Shay would do really well together. I think that would just help her skating get to that next level, and I would be obsessed.
Yeah, there's something about Luna's skating that feels in the current iteration that feels like she could be almost skating to anything sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like there are certain movements that go with the music, but not all of it is intentional. Mm-hmm. Like I want her to get a program where everything is intentional. Everything is about fitting with the piece of music overall.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like someone like Shay Lin would be perfect to do that.
To be fair, I've enjoyed the short programs that she's had. Like, I think that they're fine and that they get the job done. But, like, it's the free skates that I'm, like, lost. Like, constantly. They're always so, I find them so close and so far from an idea. Like, they just...
They're a fever dream.
I have a fever and I have a dream and
and the dream is of new choreography.
Yes.
Yeah. And like just less arms.
No, just
and that's
like,
coming from someone who skates
who loves
on
arms.
2 feet and I just did a lot of arms. Like I get it.
Well, I think you can do a lot of arms. The problem is when you are doing a lot of arms and not doing a lot of other parts of your body. I mean, you know, I think
or
it's
just,
fine
like,
to move your arms
around
a lot, but move your whole torso, move your hips, move everything if you're doing something with your arms. Don't just use your arms, right? That's
yeah.
That's what
That's what she means.
Yes.
I'm going to say something trashy. Imagine her skating to, like, go with me, like a Carmen done by Shay.
Haven't we said this at one point?
I don't know if we have, but I'm with you.
I'm with her doing she could do a war horse and not even.
She could do just like a piece of music that I'm like, I recognize this music and want to see more of it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, she could do that. Yeah. No, I agree. And my last thing in honor of the last episode is I've had a few, like a handful of non-skating friends send me Ilya's free skate.
Yeah.
Going, asking, I don't know what I'm, not asking, telling me, I don't know what I'm watching, but I am oddly emotional watching this.
Wait, I saw an Instagram post, and I'm sorry, this is a little beside the point, but not completely. I saw an Instagram post where the caption was the 4A, so the quad axle, and the post itself was blocked saying, or like censored, saying this contains graphic or violent content. And I was like, is this what I think it is? Or is there like something weird in this video? So I clicked on it to watch it, and it was just Ilya doing the quad axle.
Wait. I mean, that is graphic and violent.
It is.
Yeah.
I saw an amazing tweet where someone was clearly texting with their non-skating friends. And they're like, so what's up with this Ilya Malananan guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was charming.
Yeah, my mom watched
it. He's mainstream.
Everybody has seen it, I feel like. It's going all over the place, which is great.
It was playing in Times Square.
Yeah.
The Succession composer posted about it.
It's like the perfect combination of things, like the pop culture crossover.
I do love that Ilya was like, I don't even have an HBO account.
Right. But as soon as I get one, I'll watch it. And it's like,
weird,
I think
weird
you can
flex,
get it
but okay.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that it wasn't like, let's get an HBO account for 2 months in the summer of 2023 so you can watch this show.
1 month and you can watch one episode.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think the kids are not as into HBO these days. Like, I've had HBO forever because of Sex and the City.
I feel like they all watch Euphoria.
Right.
Oh, or they're, like, not allowed to. I don't know.
I feel like a lot of kids watch Euphoria. Maybe I'm wrong,
a lot of kids do, and a lot of kids should not be allowed to watch Euphoria.
I've never seen Euphoria.
Euphoria's a bit dark for my taste.
That's a fever dream. Yeah, it's too much.
I like shows that have more, like, daylight in them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, it's hard for me to...
No, completely.
And I mean this, like it's just hard for me to see things that are just
all in the dark.
There's
not enough, like, daytime scenes. Yeah, like, it's a lot of, like, glow lights.
I need daylight.
I mean, HBO's doing it, but so are movies. I was flying home from Worlds the other day, and I watched that Hunger Games prequel, Songbird Snakes one. And I turned up the brightness all the way on my plane screen, and I still, could not see what was going
on. Like, who are we doing
this
for?
Dark movies.
Darkness. Yeah. I hate darkness.
Yeah.
I hate inspiration, but I also hate darkness.
Well, inspiration
is weak.
Should we dive right into the
speaking of
the
inspiration?
Yeah. The weakest person we know, Deanna Stellato Duda. Because she's inspiring, you guys.
Yeah,
so inspiring.
Yes, let's talk about her.
She's so cool. I want to be her when I grow up, even though we are close to each other in age. Like, I want to always aspire to become Deanna Stellato Dudek.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, it makes me question, like, what I'm doing. Because I'm like, could I still do it? Even though the answer is no.
No.
And it's
no,
not
she
even...
sent me into a spiral.
Yeah. It's not even no. It's like, no. LOL. Quit.
No, it's...
It's LOL, absolutely not.
It's when Ziggy's going after, like, a piece of food on the floor and you're like, no! It's that kind of a no.
It's just, it's really, it's the quad axle of in pair skating right now. It's just, I can't believe I'm watching what I'm watching. I can't believe somebody who's 40 years old is skating better than they've ever skated in their entire life and is winning worlds.
Yeah. In that fashion too, because I mean, they were going up against Riku and Ryuichi, who really did look great.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They
looked really good. I think we didn't know what to expect from Riku and Ryuichi, and they skated really well. I mean, I think this whole field was actually pretty good. I mean, there were not like big disasters here. The top three, who ended up being the top three, all skated two great programs, not perfect, but two strong programs from all of them, which I feel like bodes really well for the next couple of years in this discipline. Mm-hmm. Deanna and Max, their short program is easily one of my favorite moments of the whole week. The building felt like it was shaking. It was just, it was amazing. Everybody was with them. It was so loud. And this was the program where I felt like they skated better in the short. And, you know, they were just less tight. They were more, you know, all in on their choreo. And I like, it was an amazing moment. And honestly, them skating as well as they did in the free skate after the warm-up that they had was a miracle.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. I heard it was bad from, like, the world feed that I was watching. That,
it was
like,
bad. They couldn't land
what
anything.
What was happening?
They couldn't land anything. They did not get a single triple out. Neither of them. They looked so tight. Just uncomfortable, nervous, you know, whatever, you know, you guys have been on those warm-ups. I haven't, but think of a warm-up where you just didn't have your legs under you. Like, that is what it looked like.
God, I hate those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just had to
Sometimes
leave
you
the
gotta
ice.
Shake the scaries out.
Yeah. And so it really, you know, made me feel nervous that they were going to struggle so much on their side-by-sides that, you know, if another team had a great skate, they would fall behind. So the fact that they got their triples out at all, even if they were a little bit tighter, was amazing. Really amazing.
Whew.
And that free skate music is so tense. Interview with the vampire music is so... I felt like, I don't know, my blood was pumping. I haven't felt that nervous during a program in a while, and I think it was partially because obviously what's at stake and you're cheering for her and they're at home, and but
it's
also
the music.
It was like watching a horror movie.
Enough daylight scenes.
No, it wasn't. There wasn't enough daylight.
It was all dark
when the program was over. I like said to myself, like, I've never enjoyed something so not at all.
Yes.
And like, I loved, I like the program a lot, and it was just, but it was, I was so stressed out during the whole thing, like, because I wanted it to go well so badly that like, I did not enjoy one second of it. I did watch it again, and then I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and the music has no triumphant moments in it where you can relax a little bit. And the way that they have the program laid out is they leave, you know, a hard element for close to the end. Like, they have a throw it really close to the end, so you can't relax. It's not like... And I want to say something. Not that I didn't respect it before, but the way that the building felt for her going out there made me really respect Ashley in Boston even more maybe than I had before. I was like, this is cool that she can do this at home, but this sucks. This is like, feels like so much pressure. I like,
oh, it is. Yeah. You feel it.
You can feel it. It's like a physical imposing presence.
Well, because you also know you have to create the moment for the people that are there. Like, it's that kind of a pressure where you know what they're expecting. Like, she knew that people wanted her to become a world champion, and she could feel it. And she rose to the occasion. I mean, they just went check, 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 check. Like, it was just so, it wasn't easy to watch. I think, Adam, you bring up a really good point. Like, not enjoyable, even though fantastic.
Well, yeah, it just looked like they were running on, like they were doing this whole thing from muscle memory. That's what it, yeah. And I was doing it from muscle because.
You were muscling it.
Yeah, I was, and I was so stressed the whole time because I just wanted it to go well. But to the point of like, you can feel it. I think, I mean, I'm going to speak about Ashley, even though she's in the room. It's never stopped me before. and it won't stop me today. But I feel that like when I, if I close my eyes and I remember that, it just felt, I don't know what you felt, but I feel like you probably felt this, that like everybody's on my side. Because like at that point, you're at a world championships, you're American, you, it's gone well. I could feel this, that like everyone's on my side and that's going to help me. That's what, yeah, I felt when I watched you in Boston. Everybody's on, I felt like, everyone's on my side. Not you though. Everyone's on my side.
I felt like I knew, especially after the short program, but I knew that they were setting Gracie up to win. Mm-hmm. And I felt that very much. And then I knew that something had happened. I didn't know what, but I got on the ice and I could feel like the energy of that arena. And I felt like a gladiator. And I'm the kind of skater where like when there's blood in the water, I'm like a shark and I will attack. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of what I felt like. I felt like the arena was waiting for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what, but I used that. And Deanna absolutely keyed into that.
Yeah. And I think it's to your point, you were in a different situation even than Deanna, because Deanna was set up to win. She was ahead after the short program with everything to lose in the free skate. Whereas you're going in and you're like, okay, I'm in fourth after the short. I know there's an opening here. I don't know what happened, but I know there's an opening. Let me skate for it. So it's a little...
I think it's much harder. The position that she's in is even harder because I was like, let's see what happens. Maybe I get on the podium.
Yeah.
Like,
right. She's just so like, close to the dream.
I need to win.
Yeah. Yeah, that feeling of the expectations.
And I'm currently winning.
40 is a better number than 41. Like, I just... Yeah. It just is a better number.
Yeah, so congratulations, Deanna Stellato-Dudek, the oldest woman to ever win a world title in any discipline, and also Max.
Yeah, and that's how that goes.
I saw someone tweet, like, and he's just Ken, and I chuckled at that, but also it's like, he is such a fantastic pair partner. And what he brings to that partnership is so important because he really does help Deanna shine. And I think that in this partnership, he has been a really fantastic base for her to just kind of like blossom out of. And that's the job of a good pair skater. And well, I mean,
and even
he doesn't get enough credit.
Like, no matter what he does, and it's like he knows it, like he could do, you know, fireworks could come out of his fingertips. But he's not the star of the team.
He's not Deanna.
Yeah, and he...
But I think he's okay with that.
And
like,
he
that's
is,
the other thing
which
that
makes him
it so great.
Like attractive as that as the, such a good partner.
Well, and
I think,
what's important that, like, is that you can tell she doesn't see it that way as like, oh, he's just Ken. She's not seeing it that way. She, you know, talks about him as, you know, my partner, an equal, somewhat like, obviously they both have to do well for the team to do well. And she, that's what's important, is that they are on the same page together. It doesn't really matter what everybody else says about
them. She's looking at him and she's going, well, he's just 30. That's what she's
he's just
saying.
A wee babe.
He's just 30. He's not 40. Like,
is he 30?
I think he's like 31 or two.
Okay.
But for all the straight men that listen to this podcast, all...
Yeah, they're coming out in droves right now.
Yeah. men who support successful women and are not threatened by them, so hot. So hot.
Yeah.
I love that.
That goes out to all our listeners, by the way. All of them.
Especially when they're French. Canadian.
Yeah, well... Oh. Okay, also I did love that like her post win interview, she did speak French. I thought that was very cute.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. She's... For her. Wow.
Yeah.
And she spoke it with like
Quebecois accent.
Yeah. And how do I know that? Is because you hear some of those and you're like, that is not how the Parisians say it, but
oui.
But wah.
Okay, let's move on from the top of the podium. I think we have a lot of other people we should talk about.
Riku and Ryuichi's free skate, I loved it. I thought it was so beautiful.
I love them. I love their so skating. Much.
Like, I watched it and was like, oh, that's right. I really, really like this team.
Yeah, and I think the going back to the old long program proved to be a smart idea for them and seemed to work out. I mean, obviously, Riku popped one of the jumps, right? One of the side-by-sides in the free.
Double
and that was really their only mistake. She seemed frustrated in the kiss and cry that they did not win, despite winning the free skate. I think had she not popped the Sao Cow, they would have been a lot closer, but I still don't think they would have won. With the between the short program gap combined with just the atmosphere and appetite for Deanna to win, I just don't know how much of a chance they had after Deanna and Max did all their elements. Albeit that the Japanese elements were a bit better.
Yeah. The momentum in a building, it matters. Like, it not only matters, it makes or breaks the day.
Completely.
It's the most important thing is the
momentum.
That's
what Mr. Nix always told me. He's like, if you bring an audience to their feet, the judges cannot deny you. So don't ignore the audience. Get the audience on your side and the rest kind of follows suit. And, you know, I think both of them got the audience behind them. But
well, judges are part of the audience. And,
right.
Yeah.
And they're human. You know, there's no way to... Judges aren't in a soundproof box watching the skating, only hearing
the
music.
They
are subject to the energy in the building too, which, you know, maybe makes it less fair, but that's what it is. And maybe it's less fair, but at the same time, I like that encourages skaters to perform to the rafters.
It's
and
not
encourages
less. It's the name
them
of the
to,
game.
Yeah, right.
That's just the name of the game.
Yeah.
And that's what a performance is. And to even go back to, like, you know, my non-skating friends telling me, like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I'm, like, oddly emotional. Can you please tell me about, like, this kid? Like, and, you know, it's because, like, they can feel the momentum through the screen. They can feel that. And that's the name of the game.
That's why people watch skating.
Yes, that's why we've all fell in love with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we create momentum.
But yeah, Riku and Ryuichi skated really well here. I don't know that they had a chance to win without being completely perfect, and they weren't. And I don't even know that they had a chance being perfect, with Deanna and Max skating well too. So,
we have a really exciting rivalry to look forward to though. That's going to be really nice.
Yeah. I mean, not just them though. Like, I think these top, there's going to be a time, I think, when we get to, like, the top four or five teams are all, like, Hasa and Volodin are going to be really good. I mean, they already are very good.
It's their first year together.
They're world bronze medalists in their first year together. They have already gotten better through the course of this season.
Mm-hmm.
They're really enjoyable to watch. They are so, like, polished and clean on other elements, and I think the next thing is just improving on the emotion and the connection and performance aspect of it. But again, it's been a year. Like, it's crazy.
Who are they working with?
They are with Dimitri Savin is their coach, and Newt Schubert.
Does that mean anything to you, Ashley?
Yes, Newt Schubert.
That's my father's name.
Yeah. I am Ashley Schubert.
I'm Ashley Newt Schubert.
Yeah, so I'm not super, super, super familiar with their coaching team, but these coaches they're not like brand new coaches. They've been around. But they're great, and I really like watching them skate. I mean, when they do their throws, she looks like she could do a quad. Like, they She gets through the triple throws in the air. So yeah, they have so much time.
It's beautiful. They have beautiful, classic looking throws. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, and they have nice jumps, and they're just nice to watch. They really are. And you know, I was thinking, watching them, because they were in fourth after the short, and they skated before Conti and Machi in the free skate. And Conti and Machi went up, and they just really did not benefit from skating after Haase and Vlodin directly, because Haase and Vlodin's polish and cleanliness created a stark contrast when watching Conti and Machi, who were just a little rough around the edges on every element. And it kind of felt like death by a thousand cuts, like with the little mistakes.
I think that's
over
a good point. Yeah.
And that did not benefit them.
A moment of silence for it not benefiting the skater.
No, I'm just, we're fake as fuck, because we're not. But a couple episodes ago, we were like, and then there was pairs. And now we're like, oh.
Let me say what I've always said, and I maybe have not always said it on this podcast, but I know I've said it to you guys in real life at varying times in our friendships. I think.
All right, we'll confirm it.
I think that when skated well, pairs is the best discipline, and when skated poorly, it's the worst.
Yes, 100%. It's the most impressive. It's the most beautiful, because it is more beautiful to watch two people
when it's
at
done
once.
Well. When it's done well. So, but when it's done poorly, it is an absolute atrocity.
No, it's the worst. Agreed. It is the best and worst discipline, and there's no in between.
There isn't.
No such thing as a good team.
No,
you're either a great team or you are terrible, and you're one step away from being at Huntington in general.
No, yeah, I do actually believe that, though. I mean, like, when I think back on, like, the greatest programs of all time, I think of, like, Aliona and Bruno in Pyeongchang. Yeah. You know, like, when it's done well, it is the best thing you've ever seen. It's
seamless, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's two as one, which is better. Two for one is always better than one.
Period.
I've always said that.
That's why the World's Recap Part 2 is the best one, because both of these disciplines have two people in them.
Yeah, it's two for one.
Conti and Machi ultimately finished sixth, which is kind of a bummer because Kitty Paws finished ninth, and they didn't
this
get three
annoying.
Spots for next year, and they have three good teams. So that is a bummer that we won't get to see all
it
three of those
bummer.
Teams in Boston. The Georgians, I thought, would skate better than they did, and just were kind of a mess in the free skate.
Mm-hmm.
Metelkina and Berilava.
It's like, I sometimes feel like when you get to a world championships, the world adjusts into, like, what it's supposed to be. And I feel like our top three teams were the teams that were supposed to be the top three.
Well, they
and
were
I think the Georgians
yeah, I think
are
the top
good,
three were the best three.
But I think, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, and I love that Pavlova and Sviatchenko pulled up to fourth place.
She come hell or high water, and she's both of those, and she's coming hell and high water.
Yes, she will do her elements no matter
she
what.
She will, whether there's a will or a way.
And there is neither.
No.
And she'll
and
do
her,
it anyway.
Her partner's not will, but she is eating whey protein.
But yeah,
and that's how she's doing it.
They skated so well in the free skate. I want, you know, it was really sweet. Their team at the boards was very emotional when they finished their free skate, which made me happy to see. It was a nice moment. I think they need some improvement on performance and connection. And, you know, I think they could use maybe some softer. I wonder if softer programs would agree with them.
No.
You don't think so?
She is too, like,
I think she can do anything.
She's a biker chick. Like, that's, like, she can't. She,
no,
put her
she
in
can
soft
do
music.
Anything, though. Like, Alexa Kinnearum could do biker chick and do romance.
No, because but Alexa Kinnearum was the girl on the back of the bike.
And she
Pavlova
really was.
Is riding the motorcycle.
She is the motorcycle.
She's flipping me off in traffic. I'm going, who's cutting me off? It's her. She's giving me the bird. And
then she pops a wheelie and skirts away.
And then she spits her cigarette out because she's been chewing it. That's what I see. I'm like, no, not
sure.
No,
Alexa soft Kinnear, music.
Because Alexa Kinnearum, red lip. She's on the back of the bike. Chris Kinnearum is in the front. And she's looking back. She's in a little scarf that's like fluttering in the breeze. You're like, oh, okay, she can do that. Pavlova, no. She's in.
I think, okay, well, agree to disagree. I think Pavlova can do anything.
Does she have a gun to your head right now?
Yes. I'm being held hostage. Please wire $2 million to this account.
To Hungary. To the Hungarian government. I love her. I say this with the same kind of love and tenderness and motherhood when talking about her biker daughter.
It's how I talk about Rosie. I taught her how to chew on cigarettes, so yeah. It's my own fault.
Well, they are delicious when chewed on.
You don't smoke these, you chew them, okay?
Yeah, these are for eating, not for...
Nom nom.
Oh my God.
I guess finally, maybe, let's just spend 1 second on the American pairs who finished 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Yes. And done.
That was the second that we spent on American pairs.
They're in a transition.
Yeah.
They're in a transition of like losing Brandon and Alexa, and it's jarring and it's a lot of pressure. Then all of a sudden, like
Emily and Spencer have so much momentum lost from spending a whole season injured. It is transitional. But
and I like Danny and Ellie. Like, I like them a lot.
I really like them too.
I like them too. It's just the problem here is I read this somewhere. Between the three American pairs in the free skate, they had one clean landing out of 6 throws.
Okay.
And the only person to land one was Valentina Plazas. And, you know, so, I mean, that's a problem if, like, you know, two of your top teams are not landing any throws. I mean, again, that's a problem. That's what needs to be worked on, because I think, to your point, Adam, I like watching Ellie and Danny skate. I think they're good together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential.
They're enjoyable. But she's
technical
a great
has
pair
to
girl.
Be.
But the fall, all the falls, come on.
Yeah, that's what has
can
to
I
be.
Just say, can I say that?
Yeah, stand up.
No, a fall, the falls.
That's the
but
goal.
No, but not a fall, all falls. The falls, many falls all the time. Like, downgrade it. Let me talk shit about you doing a throw double, but like, stop falling.
It just, it really breaks up it breaks up the performance that is so good and is so enjoyable. So then they don't even get the benefit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I say this as, listen, I've fallen into the wall even. So
we all fall.
You can fall.
Ice is slippery.
We all fall.
But
it's just, and it's, this is me being frustrated for you, not at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at you, but
stand
for
up.
You. Stand up.
Yeah. So. Where is U.S. pairs going from here? We'll see.
All right. Shall we dance?
We shall. 2-time world champion, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates.
Yeah. So I think Maddie and Evan were in a league of their own in the rhythm dance.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I'm not saying that necessarily technically, but there is an energy and an aura. It's like we were just talking about with the way the building feels. They have the best material in the rhythm dance. They have the most confidence, best performance, I think, in the rhythm dance. I think if Piper and Paul had better material in the rhythm dance, they might have won this title.
Saying this all year. Yeah, 1,000,000%. Their rhythm dance is the reason that I believe, and I said this at the beginning of the year, that like the free dance is a work of art. I love that free dance.
And they won the free dance, and they rightfully won the free dance. They were excellent, and it was beautiful, and they were the only of the top three teams that didn't have like a weird mishap on a lift, which helped. But I mean, they were the best team in the free dance for sure. The rhythm dance, I was disappointed in them, not about the material, like putting that aside, I'm curious if you guys thought this too. Piper and Paul looked to me like they were skating really cautiously in the rhythm dance.
But they all, yeah. they have all year, and I feel like that's it's the way the program is set up or something where they are not able to like let go. There's yeah. something about this like about this rhythm dance that almost felt like they were tight. Skating an old junior program or something of their own. Or like something about it felt like they were not able to skate to their full potential in it.
Yeah, it just felt yeah. like, okay, I can tell that you're gonna get good levels because you are very clearly showing me every edge. Fine. But at what cost? Because I don't feel any sort of reckless abandon in you performing this program.
Yeah. I had this theory all year that like if they were going to, especially after like the Grand Prix final, I felt like if they're gonna win Worlds, they need to have the momentum of being like, we changed the rhythm dance. They needed to do that, I think. As somebody who has no experience, no knowledge in ice dance, I could just, that's what I felt in my bones.
Like the mind games of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah. the scores bore that out at Worlds last week. They lost because of the rhythm dance. They yeah. won the free dance. And had they right. been closer in the rhythm dance, or even, dare I say, ahead, there would have been no issue. They would have easily yeah. won this title. Because Maddie and Evan had a technical issue right off the bat in their free dance.
Right.
And, you know, Piper and Paul got a great draw going last in the free. Like, it was all there for them. And they, I think they lost it in the rhythm dance by skating yeah. hesitantly.
No, and I felt like that's, I just been feeling that like they weren't able to, something was stopping them from like letting go and letting God. Nothing, nothing for God, Ashley. Everyone's quiet after that.
Amen to that.
I'll say, look at what God has done, bringing Marjorie and Zach into the top five.
God did good work.
Yeah, God is good.
If it were up to me, they would have been on the podium.
I mean,
it isn't up to me.
It right.
No.
It's not up to
and
you.
We knew they weren't going to be, but I am thrilled that they were in fifth here, and I think it's just only going up from here.
I just feel like
it's a big deal.
Yeah, the tide has turned, because for a minute there, it was just like that. I felt like they weren't getting the scores that I wanted for them.
Like they kind of stalled.
Right. But it felt like that they just needed to like push through and it would come together. And it feels like at this world, the tide has turned. And now it's like, okay, they're now going to be in that conversation of, they're now in that conversation of getting onto the podium. For sure. I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that, from a political standpoint in ice dance, Marjorie and Zach should be the number one Canadian team.
I don't want to agree with that, but I do feel that like that's what is going
to happen. That's the smart thing to start pushing.
Well, here's something that I'm thinking about is the writing on the wall to me is Piper and Paul will maybe get an Olympic medal. And I'm thinking that's a big maybe because you know an American team is getting one, probably. Assuming Maddie and Evan stay healthy, they're going to get one. I can't imagine Guignard and Fabry don't get one at home in Italy. Which
I didn't
leaves
think about that. Because there we go. Momentum, even. Just the momentum. Yeah,
and,
the building.
And they're good. It's not like, they're just going to give them one.
Wait.
Like,
oh, no.
And
wait.
If Gabby and Guillaume come back, I mean, Piper and Paul are not on that podium.
Okay. Wait. The last time there was an Italian Worlds and Barbara Frusterpoli was at it was 2006.
Oh,
they won
know.
The compulsory dance. They
I
were
know.
Winning.
I
and
know.
Then she almost committed murder.
Mid-ice.
And so now she is coaching. It's a full circle moment. So
yes.
Now I'm scared because I was thinking, well, they're Italian, the momentum. Oh, there's momentum.
No, she's going to get
there's
momentum.
Also, Because there's unfinished business.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. She's getting her medal.
Yes.
And Maurizio is coaching the Finnish team that she's making sure they're not in the top 10.
Yeah.
Well, because she's going to kill them.
Right. So I think it's a maybe because we don't know what Gabby and Guillaume's plans are. And they maybe right. won't come back, in which case there's a spot on the podium for another team. I think Marjorie and Zach are your team of the future, your team that could be at the top of an Olympic podium in 2030. Like, that's who I would be, you know, wanting the top Canadian team to be in Canada. And it's not a knock at Piper and Paul, but Marjorie and Zach have a higher ceiling than they do.
I mean, if anything, they're going to, like, bring them up to the same... What's going to happen is, like, I mean, what happened? What was it? Cup of China, where Marjorie and yeah. Zach won the rhythm dance.
Yeah, right.
So there's already a hint at that. And they'll either completely take over Piper and Paul, or Piper and Paul will get better. And they'll finally get out of this, like, you know, competing mm-hmm. for second or third, but then having moments of being the best. Right.
Yeah.
And they'll either, like, be able to, like, escape where they are. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I
like
do.
Like, it will push them to be, like, excellent.
Yeah.
So, I have this theory that I think, hear me out, Ashley and Sarah, if Piper and Paul add a little bit of voodoo to their coaching team, and I'm thinking, like, just ask Marina to give you a Zoom lesson once a week. Mm. That, like, that would be drama enough to be like, oh my God, wait. And even if everything stays
you're
the same, it would feel
so right.
different.
They need voodoo. They need voodoo.
That's true.
And need, literally, like, to be able to say, working with Marina Zueva.
Like, they already have the benefit of not being one of the Montreal teams because it is starting to look, it's too much. I think we all talked about that in our preview. There are too many teams from that school. They have the benefit of not being one of those. So just lean into that more. Find somebody else. Like yeah. Marina.
Consult with Marina. Like, that's all you need to do. All you need to do is,
oh my
like,
God,
get on
or
the
like
phone with
Krylova.
Her for 35 minutes. Yes. Like, consult with them.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to have, like, a Zoom lesson once a month. But then
you're
for
so
them,
right. You're so right.
Because they just, I feel like that's, like, because I can feel everything
something.
You're saying, Sarah, I feel. Like, yeah. they need something to, like, re-grasp the attention to be like, fuck these young kids. Fuck them.
Yeah.
And they need voodoo.
Well, and by the way, when we're talking about an Olympic podium, like, we're not even considering whether or not Russian skaters will be there, which is a further complicating factor for them.
I'm not considering that.
But they might be.
I wasn't considering how.
They might be able to come as neutrals. I mean... In my most optimistic sense, the war might end and they might actually be allowed.
I yeah. would love that.
That would be ideal.
No,
for
that
what
would
it
be
represents.
Good.
So we're not even thinking about that as an additional possible factor in the top five. Like, we don't know.
Do we even know who the Russian dancers
Who's
are?
Who's dancing right now?
I don't know if Victoria and Nikita are still dancing, but
I thought his knees would have given out.
Obviously, I love Stepanova and Bukin.
Or his
yeah,
partners.
I love them.
Well, they love Stepanova and Bukin. And they have some good other them. Teams, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even know.
Well, Stepanova and Bukin were, like, literally just at some kind of, like, government thing. So they wouldn't be able to even make the argument that they're neutral athletes.
Were they running for office?
But we're talking
They were
about-
at something with Putin.
But we're talking about the hopeful scenario where there is
that
no...
the war would be over.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be a requirement.
Great point.
I mean, yeah, like, yes.
No. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
In the neutral space, yes, a lot of them wouldn't be able to make this argument. I'm just saying things. As usual, I'm just saying things.
It's time for me to say something important. Does anyone have more that, like, oh, I mean, we're not done with the dance.
No.
Let's continue. Then I have something important to say.
Okay. So let's talk about Lila and Lewis getting fourth. They seemed frustrated by that. I thought it was interesting that their free dance didn't seem to play in the building in Montreal the way that it seemed to play in some other buildings that they competed in this season.
Totally.
Like, not that people hated it or anything, but just it wasn't this completely overwhelming audience involvement in the Rocky program that I think has helped propel them in other events.
Well, it wasn't NHK, basically. Yeah, like, basically, the Japanese audience was like fork and knifing this down.
Yeah.
Well, the Japanese love camp. They love a bit.
Well, and they love training, which Rocky was doing.
Yeah, and the French Canadians are too good for camp.
Yeah.
Well, they want art.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so anyway, I think, you know, they're in fourth. They said at one point in the mix zone, I read that, you know, they didn't feel like their scores in the rhythm dance at least reflected what they had done. So let that be what it is.
Were they expecting to be on the podium?
Maybe.
I mean, it wouldn't be unrealistic to think.
I mean,
based
they were fourth
the
at the Grand Prix final, and you know, I don't think it's crazy that they wanted to compete for the podium. Obviously, everybody shows up wanting to compete for the podium, but ultimately, this shook out not like that.
It didn't shake out like that. That's true.
Yeah. The Lithuanian judge was working overtime.
Doing what? A second shift?
We got to cut them an extra check for all the extra hours they were pulling.
What happened?
Allison Reed and Salios Ambrulevicius got sixth.
Oh, but that's because we're still thanking them for the European Championships. That's not even the Lithuanian judge. That's the skating community at this point. We're still thanking them for putting on the greatest skating event in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but there was some nonsense happening in that scoring.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, voodoo works in ice dance. It does.
Because Christina Carrera and Anthony Ponomarenko finished about a half a point behind them. So did La Pareva Brousseau. And
yeah, I mean, no, that's like, thank you for the European Championships. That's what that was.
Yeah.
That was a thank you.
Yeah. Allison Reed and Salios Ambrulevicius are not bad, but I don't think their material is amazing. And yeah, I don't think they're the sixth best team in the world.
No, I prefer Christina and Anthony.
Christina and Anthony had an amazing free dance.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That free dance is fantastic.
Yeah, I was really, really happy for them, which leads me to the greatest tragedy of the entire week. We haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, I know.
Ian Somerville
fell
during the rhythm dance, and Emily Brady and Ian Somerville did not make the free dance as a result.
I know. I cannot believe we'd never even texted this to each other. It was just sort of like,
I was too devastated.
I was
too devastated. I was so upset because they were skating that rhythm dance as well as maybe I had ever seen them skate it. And, you know, that you could tell that they were feeling that on the ice, that they were skating so well. And he just sort of caught his feet in the choreo section and then they didn't get credit at all for the choreo element, and mm-hmm. It was just like a weird fluke and devastating.
I know.
They were on my fantasy team.
Oh, I mean, well, the fact that we didn't see Namikita Pa skated
in Montreal
is a tragedy.
No, I'm sad now.
Yeah, I know. It's awful.
It's hitting us all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's obviously they're very young. They're so talented. This is their first world. It's a really hard first experience, but it will ultimately like be just in a learning experience. That's what it'll be.
I just think of it as like, this will just be like when they give the keynote speech at like a camp one year that like our first worlds we didn't even make the free dance.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like world,
that's what it's gonna
so
be.
Right, they are going to go to champs camp and talk about this moment.
I'm always creating a narrative, which is why I'm telling Piper and Paul to Skype Angelika Krylova.
Skype. Not Zoom, Skype.
But if you think about the other teams, like all of these teams who are now on world podiums, teams before them who have won Olympic titles have all had this happen. And it just, like, remember, I was thinking when I watched that happen, and obviously it was a different situation, but I was thinking about 2017 Worlds when Maddie and Zach were in third after the short dance. And it looked like they were maybe going to get on the podium, which would have been a huge coup for them because they didn't win nationals that year. And then Zach fell in the free dance on their twizzles. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Devastating. I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously a different situation, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
Which leads me to the draft, everyone. Now, I'm going to say this, that congratulations to the women on the podcast. They really pulled through at the last two championship events, that being the U.S. Championships and the World Championships.
Can I say something? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that I did not pick anyone for my Worlds team who finished outside the top 10.
You didn't. I'm looking
feels
at it
braggy,
right now.
But it is braggy. Happy for you.
Oh no, it is braggy. I'm bragging.
Well, that being said,
is this thing on? I'm bragging.
I don't know what place I came in, but I'm assuming it's last.
No, I
didn't
shit the bed at the U.S. Championships.
For Worlds. Oh, okay.
And the World Championships. Also, it just didn't. Ashley won the most medals at Worlds.
Well, didn't you have two of the champions, Ashley?
She did.
I did.
And you had Isabeau, right? You had all three of the American medalists.
And she had Hazem Velodin and Adam.
Yep. Oh, Adam, comeback queen.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And so Sarah wins the world championships with 215 points.
Not Olympic champion, but world champion, Sarah Hughes.
Yes.
Say congrats.
She's nodding her head.
Cat got your tongue now? You've been making a lot of noise before this.
Oh my God, she's so cute. and so basically I got third. But I have a special report coming in right now with the final results that I'd like to play for you now. In third place, we hail Team Ashley, a beacon of defiance and determination weathering the storm. With an awe-inspiring 29 medals in their arsenal, including the most coveted golds of the season, Team Ashley's legacy will echo through the halls of fantasy skating history forever. Securing the runner-up position is none other than Team Adam, once poised for glory, now tempered by the bitter sting of disappointment. Yet their gallant efforts, yielding a respectable tally of 30 medals in the fantasy draft silver, serve as a testament to their unwavering resolve in the face of adversity. But lo and behold, atop the grand pedestal of triumph stands none other than Team Sarah. Their resplendent victory propelled by an astonishing 35 medals. Their unwavering dedication and boundless passion have ignited the flames of excitement and brought us to the very brink of fantasy skating nirvana. And so, with bated breath, we bid adieu to this unforgettable season of the run-through fantasy skating draft. And let us remember, while Team Sarah may have conquered the draft, their quest for an Olympic title continues. A reminder that even champions have dreams yet to be fulfilled. Until we meet again, may the thrill of victory and the joy of camaraderie continue to unite us in this spirit of boundless possibilities. Live from Montreal, I'm Andrea Joyce. That is so nice that Andrea Joyce was able to do that for us.
I scared you. I'm sorry. That was Mama's big laugh. You haven't heard it yet because your dad's not as funny.
Yeah, so congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, congratulations, everyone. Year.
Yeah, it was Ashley won the most gold medals out of everyone in the entire...
So Ashley can pick a winner, but not middle of the pack.
No, but you can pick a bronze medalist.
Oh, yes, I can.
Because you got the most bronze. You bronze to the top, honey.
Slow and steady wins the race.
It does. But Sarah, you overwhelmingly won the entire series because, yes, I did win the Grand Prix, but like in a real season, it doesn't really matter until you get to the meat and potatoes of the year.
That's right. Wow. I'm honored. It's an honor to stand here. Your victor.
That your victor. It was really important that in that news report that Andrea gave us, she said it's important to remember that you are still in a quest for an Olympic title. So even winners have something to look forward to.
That's true.
And that's
wise words.
The grind never stops.
The grind never stopped.
Can't stop, won't stop.
I also feel like this is the end of our first season.
It was a great World Championships, everyone, and a great season.
It was a great season.
Yeah.
It was a great season.
There was some really good figure skating.
Yes. And there were some really good podcasts.
Maybe in one of our upcoming summer off-season episodes, we can go through best and worst of the season. Highs and lows, if you will.
Ooh, high-low hero.
Oh, yes. That's good.
What?
Yeah,
that would
we
be
have
fun.
Yeah, it's like
what's high low hero?
I don't know.
Oh. I do this a lot. It's like what moment of your day is your high, what moment of your day is your low, and what was your like hero moment? So hero could be like your comeback king.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow, do people normally have a hero? I don't feel like I normally have a hero moment in my everyday life. Unless it's like, oh well, I did go to the gym. Which was against all odds.
That's my hero moment.
So then you would be the hero of your day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I'll think about it.
The hero of this moment is Rosie, who's been with us for the last 10 or 15 minutes, hanging out with Ashley, making faces.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be. We love her. Yeah, she's helping us close out. This is like, so the reason I keep saying the end of the first season is because when Sarah uploads the podcast, it asks what season this is from.
Yeah.
And
I think
we've
this
decided
is the last
that
episode of the season.
This is episode 38. 38 episodes per season. It's like Seinfeld.
yeah. We're friends.
Yeah. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to the first season of The Run Through.
Yeah.
We'll be back with season two, if you can believe it or not.
Yeah, probably in a couple weeks, right? Probably not next week. We'll probably go to a bi-weekly schedule. Is that what we're thinking for the off season again?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think we're going to sit down and figure out like our schedule for the next
but
few
boy,
weeks.
But boy, do we have some fun
and
things
like
in store.
Last year, we have a lot of fun things in store. Okay, we haven't planned anything.
That's true, which is fun.
Yeah, we texted each other this morning saying, we good to record today?
Right.
Yeah, so that's sort of the vibe at the moment, which is sort of...
But before we recorded, because you might be thinking, I think that they recorded, you know, part one and two just in one fall swoop. No, this is a few days later. Yeah. So we really did, because people had meetings. So
yeah,
this is
so
no
true.
Really a part two because we had to do a second recording. But we've made the calendar to then plan out our schedule. We're going to do it. Isn't that right, Rosie?
That's right.
She's saying yes. And you know what? For season two, Rosie's going to get her own mic. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to part two of this world's...
Recap.
That was the word. And thank you for listening to season one. We're so excited. We have so many fun things in store, don't we, Sarah, Ashley?
Oh, yeah, we do.
We really do. We really do. But yeah. It's been so cool to see this grow.
Yes.
Yes. And I know we've said this before, but especially in the off season, send us things you want to hear about, things you want us to do. There's a lot more
we'll
time
make it happen.
For us to get to new things or off-topic things or sort of random things when there's not competitions happening, so... Let us know.
Right.
Yeah. We have connections. We know people like Andrea Joyce.
Right. Who is willing to give us a news report live from Montreal, which is unprecedented. but yeah. So we love you. We thank you. And we'll see you in season two.
Yeah, see you in season two.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.